Morning, today's daf im sachem daf kuf dalad. We're in kuf gimel amud beis, and we're about to start the discussion on havdalah. We just have a couple more things to do in the gemara regarding kiddush and birchas hagefen, and then we start today's daf. Today's daf is really almost exclusively dedicated to the topic of havdalah. We will get to that momentarily. In the meantime, however, just to finish up from yesterday's daf, so we had a discussion of how many times you have to make a bracha over wine. The discussion really started in the Amud Aleph, where Rav Yaakov Bar Abba went to the house of Rava and observed Rava. Rava would make a Bari Pirei Gefen on the first cup of wine, meaning, as I explained yesterday, drinking wine was a common practice, not just a common practice, but they drank with regularity over the course of the meal, during the meal, after the meal, after benching. I know it sounds excessive when I say it. But they drank wine. And Rava would make a bracha on the first on his first cup of wine that he would drink at the beginning of the meal. And then the only other time he would make a bracha, Bar Pirei Gefen, would be over benching. Meaning when he benched over a cup of wine, and it facilitated him to make another bracha over that cup of wine, as I explained yesterday. Tosfos made this point. It can't be that the first bracha is going to cover your bracha for the cup of wine of benching, because once you bench, that's it. That's a clear history. That just takes care of everything prior to that point in time. That is a bracha achrona on everything previously. And so therefore, you're holding a cup of wine in your hand. The only way you're going to be able to drink it after benching is by making a Bari Pirei Gefen. Good, that was the position of Rava. Rav Yaakov Bar Abba was there, and he was watching. He spent the entire Shabbos over there, so later this morning, we're going to talk about what happens at the end of Shabbos and his experience at the end of Shabbos. But meanwhile, that is what we saw. Talmidei de Rav, the students of Rav, we're now just, I'm reviewing, I'm on the bottom of Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. So very similar to to this practice. The Gemara tells a story, Rav Bruna, Rav Chananel, they were students of Rav, they were sitting in a meal, and Rav Yeba Saba was standing over them. They made the declaration, let's bench. Havlan v'nivrech. So let's bench. Meaning, not as a formal invitation for everyone to start benching, meaning like what we do, but rather just, in other words, just as a statement of, okay, the meal's over. We've been here for a long time. Time to get up, time to leave. So they said, okay, once you make that formal declaration, even though you haven't actually even started benching yet, but basically now it's going to be the same story. If we're going to want to drink wine from this point going forward, so we're going to have to make a new bracha. Truth be told, is that first we're going to have to bench, then we're going to have to make a new bracha, Bari Pirei Gefen, again, very similar to that of Rava. So far we have Rava, we have the students of Rav, who are all basically of the same mindset, which is that you have a Bari Pirei Gefen that takes you throughout the entire meal, because you have in mind for whatever you're going to drink in the future, and the only other time you're going to have to make a new bracha is going to be after benching. Good. That's what we did yesterday. That's basically a quick review, a quick synopsis of the Gemara of yesterday. We're going to start today on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, and we're going to start five lines from the very top of the Amud Amemar. Amemar Marzucha Ravashi Avayasu Besuda Vekayale Rav Acha Bre Derava. Okay. More Amoraim sitting down together. Amemar Marzucha Ravashi. And Rav Acha San Rava was standing over them. Amemar Baruch HaKol Kas V'Kasa. Now Amemar made a bracha on every cup of wine that he drank. Okay. Controversial. The Gemara is going to speak about it in just a moment. Marzutra Baruch HaKasa Kama V'Kasa Basra. Marzutra made a bracha on the first cup of wine, and only the next time he made a bracha over a cup of wine was only Basra, only for benching. That's it. So in other words, good. Marzutra follows like Tamida Derav. Marzutra follows like Rava. Marzutra is what we would call normative. And the Gemara is going to make that point. And Ravashi Baruch HaKasa Kama V'Sula Baruch. Now Ravashi only made a bracha on the first cup of wine, and that was it. He no longer made brachas after that point going forward. Now Ravashi is hard to understand, because Ravashi certainly sounds like he wouldn't even make a bracha of the cup of wine over benching. But that's hard to understand, because benching does create a hefsek. So how come he doesn't make a bracha over that cup of wine over benching? Possibly, and Tosfos discusses this, possibly he didn't bench over a cup of wine. Possibly. So Amlo Ravacha Barava Anan Kamanavid. Now Ravacha Barava was the one who was there observing, and in his observation he only got confused, because here we go, three Amoraim, and as the old joke goes, three Amoraim, three opinions. What do I do? Amemar Amar Nimlachana. So Amemar says, look, I wouldn't follow what I do. I'm a Nimlach, meaning I keep changing my mind. Meaning with every cup of wine, it's going to be my last cup of wine. I know we usually have terms for people like that. But in other words, they're the I'm not going to... Right, so in other words, with every cup of wine that I drink, I'm thinking to myself, this is it, this is my last cup of wine. I'm not going to have another cup of wine. And every time now he has a new cup of wine, it's he's established himself as, this is now drinking like for the very first time. In other words, the hefsek. He has a hefsek between each cup of wine, so therefore, he makes a bracha every time. So Amemar says, look, don't follow me. I'm a nimlach. Marzutra says, look, I'm good. I follow like the students of Rav. I'm doing exactly as what they do. Dahainu, I make a bracha on the first cup of wine, and that'll cover me throughout the whole meal. And then for benching, I'll make another cup, I'll make another bar pria gafen. And Rav Ashi Amar, and Rav Ashi says, look, I don't think the halacha falls like them. And why do I say that? What basis do I have for that? Because let's go back to what we learned in yesterday's daf, where I have yanta following Shabbos. And what do we say? I'm a Rav, Yayin Kiddush Ner Havdalah. Now he's quoting Rav. So in other words, he's really pitting the students of Rav against Rav. Rav says Yayin Kiddush Ner Havdalah. What do you see? That one bracha of Yayin, and I'm saying it over Kiddush and over Havdalah. Now it's interesting. What he thinks is going on over here is that, what do you see? That there's no hefsek. There's no separation. Meaning that the wine, the bracha of wine that he says in the beginning, is going to cover you for everything. Okay. Velohi. Now the Gemara points out, I don't see the comparison. I mean, it's not clear exactly who's talking right now. This is the Gemara talking. But in other words, but the Gemara says that this question of Rav Ashi is not really a question. Because Hasam Akar Daite Mimishtaya, Hachlo Akar Daite Mimishtaya. Look, the distinction is very simple and it's very clear. When I'm making a Kiddush and Havdalah combination on Motzei Shabbos going into Yantiv, so there, it's one thing, right? The Gemara's language that we saw yesterday, it's Chadam Ilsehi. Meaning it's basically, it's thematically the same thing. It's Kiddush of Havdalah. I understand one's entering, one's exiting. But still, it's one basic theme. But when we're talking about benching is an Akira. Benching, I am totally uprooting myself mentally from everything that I've done prior to that. So I can't bench and then afterwards say, okay, let's have some more wine. You can't do that. So therefore, the distinction between these two cases is very clear. And the Gemara points out that Rav Ashi does not seem to be supportable based on the psak of Rav of Yayin Kiddush Ner Havdalah. Okay, I can. All right, that takes us to the end of the Bar Priya Guffin discussion. And that was Rav Yaakov Bar Abba's beginning of Shabbos. Okay, the Gemara now goes to the end of Shabbos. What happens? Rav Yaakov Bar Abba is visiting Rava. So we talked about Kiddush. Now we're going to talk about what happens at the end of that visit. Kimata la avdule. So the Gemara says, now they get to Havdalah. And here we go. And this really takes us to the rest of today's daf, where the rest of today's daf, we're going to be discussing Havdalah. I think I mentioned this yesterday. The mitzvah of Havdalah, right? Like the mitzvah of Kiddush, very similar. In fact, the Gemara yesterday said, it's really one general idea. As I enter to Shabbos, I'm going to invest Kedusha into the day through Kiddush. And then as I leave Shabbos, I'm going to divest myself from the Kedusha Sayom by saying Havdalah. So that's very clear that thematically Havdalah is like the opposite of Kiddush. Is Havdalah a mitzvah d'oraisa? So as I mentioned yesterday, just quickly to reiterate, that's the machlokas amongst the Rishonim. So the Rambam says, yes, it is. Meaning it's the end of Kiddush, if you will. Meaning we know Kiddush is a mitzvah d'oraisa. That we know clear. So what Havdalah is, according to the Rambam, is basically it's a second part of Kiddush. It's Kiddush part two. Meaning Kiddush comes in the form of I'm going to be Makdish the day, Kedusha Sayom. And Havdalah now is I'm divesting myself of that Kedusha. So according to the Rambam, Kiddush and Havdalah like bookends to Shabbos. And so therefore, the mitzvah of Havdalah is a din d'oraisa. A number of other Rishonim disagree. Another number of other Rishonim say, no, Kiddush is min haTorah. That's clear. But Havdalah, that's a rabbinic add-on to the day. It finalizes, it formally finishes off Shabbos. But that's a din d'rabbanan, it's not a din d'oraisa. Practically speaking, what's the difference between the Rambam and all the other Rishonim? And the difference is very similar. Women chayev in the mitzvah of Havdalah. If the mitzvah is a din d'oraisa, women are going to be chayev. Why would that be? Because as the Gemara in Brachot says, women are chayv in Kiddush. It's not even a discussion. Now, although you could argue Kiddush is a mitzvah, says Shazman Grama, but the Gemara says that's not the argument by Kiddush. Kiddush is part of Shabbos. Women are chayv in the mitzvah of Shabbos. So anyone who's in the mitzvah of Shmira is also in the mitzvah of Zechira as well. Women are chayv in Kiddush, period. That's clear. So according to the Rambam, if Havdalah is part two of Kiddush, so much like women would be chayv in Kiddush, women would also be chayv in Havdalah. So therefore, the Rambam has women obligated in the mitzvah of Havdalah. According to all the other Rishonim, no. It's a din d'rabbanan, it's an add-on, it's a tack-on to Shabbos, but it's not part of Kiddush. And if it's the standalone din d'rabbanan, and it's time-bound, so women are not going to be obligated, women are not going to be chayv in Havdalah. The halacha has it, the Ramah writes, that really women should try to hear Havdalah from a man. Because her status as whether she's obligated or not is subject to a debate, which we just went over. So the Ramah says, best thing to do for a woman to do is to hear Havdalah from a man, if she's unable to do so. So then she can make Havdalah herself. But okay, let me just give you a basic idea of what is Havdalah. We are going to be speaking today in terms of very specifics and details, and that is, what should be the nusach of Havdalah, right? Hedy and I were talking yesterday, and we noted that the sitter was not a fixed work back in the good old days. In the good old days, so there was a fluidity towards the brachos, how you say them, what should be their nusach. There was a lot of fluidity. But look, I mean, nowadays, you know, we have a sitter, so our nusach is pretty fixed, but there's Nusach Ashkenaz, there's Nusach Sfard, meaning we see that there were various Nuschaos as the years advanced. Bizman HaGemara, it was even more fluid, meaning even people, you know, almost ad-libbed sometimes what they would be saying in terms of their tfilos. Sometimes ad-libbing was no good, right? The Mishnah Brachos that talks about how, you know, if you ad-lib and you ad-lib inappropriately, so they just kind of yank you right off the stage. So but we're going to be speaking now specifically about Havdalah, and this is really today's daf. We begin. Kimata Lavdule, so this goes back to the story of Rav Yaakov bar Abba and his visit to Rava. So Rava's now up to the point of Havdalah, Kanchame Va'adlik, Avuka Mishraga. So the first thing that he does is, we know part of Havdalah is he's going to make a bracha over Nair, right? We discussed that some time ago in the fourth parak of Pesachim, if my memory is correct. And so now, here we go. We're going to make a bracha over Nair. But he had a fire. He had a single flame. And what does he do? He lights the torch. So, Amalei Lamalach Kulehai. So, he's trying to understand. What are you doing? How come, Rav Yaakov wants to know, how come you're lighting a torch? How come your attendant is lighting a torch? So, his first answer, very interesting. So, he says, He says, there's already a fire. So Rava's first answer is, oh, that's my attendant. Don't worry about him. Meaning he does things. It's okay. I didn't tell him to do that. So Amalei, so Rav Yaakov says, no, you told him. If he didn't hear this from you, he wouldn't have done it. Clearly you instructed him to do so. Hard to understand what was the give, what was the take. Why was Rava reluctant to give away his secrets? Unclear what exactly this exchange was all about. In the meantime, however, so finally Rava confesses. It's better. When you make a bracha over Nair on Motzei Shabbos, so it's better that it should come from an avuka, it should come from a torch. Meaning not from a single flame, but it should come from multiple flames. Okay, perhaps it has something to do with the bracha that we make, borei ma'orei ha'esh, right? We say the word ma'orei as opposed to ma'or. Perhaps that's what's behind this idea of avuka. But in the meantime, however, Rava finally concedes, he confesses, it's better to do with a torch. Pasach v'yamar. Now, in terms of the actual nusach ha'bracha, so what did he say? Hamavda mekosh l'chol ben or l'chosh tech men yisol amin ben yam ashir sheshi me'am aseh. So he made a bracha which sounds very similar to what we do. Almost identical. Now there was no chasima over here. Maybe there was, maybe there wasn't. Hard to know. When the Gemara gives a nusach ha-bracha, you don't know if the Gemara is just quoting some of it, quoting all of it. So maybe there was a chasima, maybe there wasn't. But in the meantime, however, Amar le lama lach kulei hai. That's an excessive havdalah. Look at everything you said. Hamavda min kosh l'chol, we'll call that one. Bein or l'choshech, that's two. Bein yisrael amim, that's three. Bein yamashri l'sheshe me'amaseh, we'll call that four. Okay? Four different types of separations. The whole idea behind havdalah is that we're separating between Shabbos and chol. Sorry. I'm back on yesterday's stuff. We're separating between Shabbos and chol. That's the whole idea behind havdalah. So what are you doing? You're giving four examples of different types of distinctions? That seems to be excessive. Meanwhile, reported in the name of Rav, reported by Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav, regarding Rav Yehuda Hanasi, Rav ended up learning by Rav Yehuda Hanasi at one point in his life. You know how his havdalah would go? His havdalah would be Amavda Mikosh L'chol. Right? Again, maybe hard to know, but maybe it could be just a form of a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Ma'achalam, Amavda Mikosh L'chol. Something to that effect. But the problem is, not the problem, but he cites Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, he only said one havdalah. And you're doing four? So Amalei Anakah Svirali. By the way, what a Shabbos. Meaning everything was contentious, everything was argued. Okay, I'm sure the Gemara is only giving us the points of Allah. I'm sure the rest of Shabbos was very enjoyable. So Amalei Anakah Svirali. So Rava says in his defense, look, good. I'm glad you reported Rav Yehuda Merav. Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yosha, Posech Lo Yivchos Migemol, V'Hamosif Lo Yosef Al Zayin. A Havdalah can come in one of two forms. It can come either in the form of three or in the form of seven. Now, the way the Gemara presents it, it sounds like this is minimum versus maximum. Meaning, minimum number of Havdalahs is three, maximum number of Havdalahs is seven. And it sounds like anything in between would be okay. That's a simple pshat of the Gemara. As you'll see as we go through the rest of today's daf, it doesn't seem that that's correct. Meaning it seems like three and seven are not minimum, maximum. It's not a range. But rather, these are points on the timeline. Or in this case, the Havdalah line. Where I could either do three or I could do seven. And so therefore, that's why I did what I did. Now the Gemara notes, wait a second. Amar lei, v'hamar lo talsa, amar v'lo sheva amar. Good, but you didn't do either. You didn't do three, nor did you do seven. So again, it sounds like from the Gemara that it's bedafka, it has to be either three or seven. Meaning three separations or seven separations. Now what is the story with these magic numbers of three and seven? So seven, as the Gemara is going to be clear. Seven, that's the number of different types of havdalahs that are actually mentioned in the Torah. Meaning the Torah itself notes that there are different separations. Separations, we'll go through all of them later in this morning. Jewish people and the other nations, seventh day versus the other days of the week, Tameh versus Tahor. So in other words, there's seven separations in the Torah. So seven becomes a maximum because you're not going to find more than that in the Torah. And then the number three, I don't know. I don't know why three becomes your other number. But whatever the case is, Havdalah can come in the form of seven, Havdalah can come in the form of three. So Rav Yaakov says to Rava, yeah, but you didn't do either. You didn't do seven, you didn't do three, you did four. Amalei Ivra, so he says, well, I'll tell you the truth. The first one, the Yom HaShul HaSheshi Me'amaseh, you don't count that. Why don't you count that? Because that's Me'ein Chasima. Because that's like the Chasima. Okay. Everyone know, I mean, this is going to be a big part of today. Me'ein Chasima. The structure of a bracha. Really, it'd be better if we did the Amud Beis today before we did the Amud Aleph, but I'll give it away. In the Amud Beis, basically the Gemara says there's a formula. Every bracha has a formula, and the formulaic version of a bracha has it that I open up with the words Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam. Then there's a paragraph of whatever we're going to talk about, whatever the bracha is relevant to. And then at the end there's a chasima, there's a concluding bracha. Okay, good. That's your basic formula for a bracha. Now, there are many exceptions to the rule. In fact, today's daf at the Amud Beis, we're going to go over the number of exceptions to rule from when we can deviate from the formula, but that's the formula. Bracha, paragraph, and then chasima. So what Rav is arguing is, I know you counted four havdalos in my havdalah, and I know I said either three or seven. What we're going to do is we're going to take one away. And the reason why we're going to take one of them away is because that's me'in ha-chasima. That leads to the chasima. So because I have a connector between my bracha and the chasima, so therefore, that just thematically takes me to the chasima, therefore you don't count that. So therefore, 4 minus 1, so I only said 3. Okay. So the Gemara says, V'amar Rav Yehudah Mashmua, Mavzah Esach Shiyomar Me'in Chasima Samuch, I'm sorry, yeah. 3 lines down from the top of the Amud, V'amar, from the, yeah. V'amar Rav Yehudah Mashmua, Mavzah Esach Shiyomar Me'in Chasima Samuch Chasima So, Upum Medisa Amar Me'in Psichasam Samuch Chasima San. Now the Gemara notes, Machlokis between different yeshivas, Shiva Pumpadisa versus Rav Yehudah Amar Shmuel, but either way, it's a question of when do I want that thematic link? At the end of the paragraph or at the beginning of the paragraph? So the Gemara says, well, what difference does it make? My Beinai, we can Beinai, Yom Tov Shechal Yos Achar Shabbos. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what's going, when it's going to make a difference, and that's when I'm going from Shabbos to Yom Tov. So when I go from Shabbos to Yom Tov, there's also going to be Havdalah. But it's different. How does the Havdalah go from Shabbos into Yom Tov? Hamavdo bein Kodesh LaKodesh. Right, we're not going from Kodesh to Chol. We're going from Kodesh to Kodesh, but they're different. Right, it's a downgrade of Kedusha, evidenced by the fact that on Yom Tov, you can cook, you can carry, you can do things on Yom Tov that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. So therefore, but Yom Tov is still Kedusha. So what do we say? Hamavdo mein Kodesh LaKodesh. That's going to be the Chasima. So the Chasmina mein Kodesh LaKodesh. Mandar mein psichasam samach Chasima san. Lo baim lemeimar bein Kedusha Shabbos and Kedusha Yom Tov Yivdalta. Now, if I need the if I don't need the mein Chasima, in other words, I don't need to thematically link the closing bracha with the paragraph, so then I don't have to say Ben Kedusha Shabbos Kedusha Yom Tov. Uman dar memein chasima samach chasima sam baila memein ben Kedusha Shabbos l'Kedusha Yom Yivdalta. But if I do need to thematically link the chasima with the end of the paragraph right before the chasima, so then before I say Ben Kosh Kodesh, I'm going to need to say Ben Kedusha Shabbos Kedusha Yom Tov Yivdalta. So the Gemara notes that would be an example where it would be a difference whether or not I need to thematically link the chasima with the end of the paragraph. Okay, gufa. All right, with all this stated now, so good. So what do we have? We have, let's just quickly recap, we have Havdalah. First thing we learned is that it has to be avuka, it should be a torch, it shouldn't be just a single flame. In terms of the actual nusach of Havdalah, so far we've seen various menhagim. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi would just simply say, Mavza Mikosh Shachol, and that would be it. Maybe with a brach in front of it, but that would be it. And then Rava, and the Gemara notes there are a number of other Amoraim that feel this way as well, feels that no, that when you make Havdalah, you should make multiple Havdalos within your Havdalah. Now, we count that he made 4 inside of it, but the Gemara says, but really don't count it as 4. It's 3, and then the Mamav de Mikar Shachol, that's just simply thematically linking the bracha to the end. Period. Adkan. Gufa, the Gemara goes back, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Yoshia, HaPasech, Lo Yivchos, Mishal Shra, Amosif, Lo Yosef, Al Sheva. Okay, so 3 or 7. Meisve, the Gemara challenges based on the following. This is a Tosefta. A Tosefta from Brachos. Omer Havdalos Bemotzei Shabbosos. Uve Motzei Yamim Tovim. Uve Motzei Yom Kippurim. Uve Motzei Shabbos Yom Tov. Uve Motzei Yom Tov L'Cholo Shel Moed. Anytime I downgrade in Kedusha, from Shabbos to Yom Tov, from Yom Tov to the weekday, from Yom Tov to Chol HaMoed, from Yom Kippur to weekday, anytime I downgrade in Kedusha, so that is a call for Havdalah. Avalo b'motzei Yom Tov l'Shabbos. But what if we go the other direction? Right, we just did this 3 times. We went from Yom Tov to Shabbos, so there's no Havdalah. Because we're not going down in Kedusha, we're going up in Kedusha. Haragel Omer Harbe v'she'eno Ragel Omer Achas. Now, if you're fluent and you have a fluidity in saying brachas, so say Harbe, say a lot. And if not, so then say only one, like Rebbe did. Hamavdo Mikosh Shachol. The problem is that the Gemara just quoted a memra, which is that it should either be 3 or 7. And now this brisa has it as either Harbe or Achas. Now, Harbe could be 7, so that's not a problem, but Achas we know is 1, and 1 is not 3. So tonight, so the Gemara answers very simply, Machlokes Tanayim. Am Rav Yochanan ben Asher Kedoshim Amar Achas. So Rav Yochanan notes that there was a particular holy individual, there was a holy Jew, and he only said 1. Minagu am lamar shalosh, but the minag is to say 3. Parenthetically, the Gemara notes, Maninu ben Asher Kedoshim, who is our holy Jew? Rabbi Menachem Bar Simai. V'amai kari lo benashu kadoshim dolo istaka b'tsurasa d'zuzah. His holiness is attributable to the fact that when he had a coin, there were images on coins. He did not look at the images on coins. Now, there's no actual oved avodah zarah. There's no idolatry in the looking of a tzurah, but that's exactly the point. Meaning, he went above and beyond the strict letter of the law. He did not look at the image of a tzurah, and as a result of that, he's called a kadosh. Okay. Anyway, what do you see so far? Again, another example of somebody who did not say three, but rather said one. The Gemara notes it's a machlokus. Shalach Rav Shmuel Bar Idi Chanina Achai Omer Achas. Rav Shmuel Bar Idi says that his brother would only say one as well. The Gemara notes, but that's not the accepted halacha. Although we had a number of Amoraim and Tanaim who said one, including Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, but the Gemara says that's not normative practice. Amar Rav Yishuv ben Levi Avdasach Shomer Me'in Avdala Samros Betorah. When you make Avdala, you should follow Havdalah said in the Torah, meaning you should look to where the Torah makes separations between different items. That should be basically in your candidates for what you should include in Havdalah. Makes where the Gemara quotes the Brisa, challenges from the Brisa. Seder Havdalah Zeich Omer, Hamavdo Bein. And here we go, number one, Beikar Shechol. Now, by the way, it's interesting. The Brisa does not actually tell us where to find this in Chumash. So really, what our job is going to be, okay, this is going to be homework, if you will, but what our job is going to be is we're going to have to find the psukim in the Torah that actually treat and deal with all these different types of kedushas. So number one, hamavdo min kodesh hachol. That's going to be a tricky one. Meaning you're going to have to do a search in the Torah and find where the Torah says mavdil in the context of weekday versus Shabbos. Okay. Bein or lechoshech. So that's the beginning of Bereishis. Bein Yisrael la'amim, between the Jewish people and the other nations. Okay. The Bein Yom HaShvi'i Sheishes Yimei HaMaaseh, between Shabbos and the 6 days of the week. Bein Tamei L'Tahor, Bein Hayam L'Charava, Bein Maim Al-Yonim L'Maim Tachtonim, and Bein Kohanim Levim V'Yisrael Elam. Now, how many did you count over there? Okay, if you counted, you should have came up to the number of eight. Okay, I'll just quickly go over those last lines. I'll count. One is Kosher Chol. Two is Or LeChoshech. Three is Yisrael Amim. Four is Yom HaShvi'i LeSheishim Me'Amaseh. Five is Tamei LeTahor. Six is Yam LeCharava. Seven is Mayim Elyonim LeMayim Tachtonim. And eight is Kohanim to Levim VeYisraelim. Okay, that's eight. That's a problem. We said already a number of times that the number is either going to be three or seven. One, three, or seven. But the Gemara notes that one is not accepted halacha. But here we have a brisa that says eight. V'chosim b'seder breishis. Now what's going to be your chasima? So all this is going to seem so unfamiliar to us. Because of all the opinions that we're about to see right now, none of them conform to what we know as a proper chasima. I mean, we call it proper because we do it. But none of it conforms to what we do. Chosim b'seder breishis. So one suggestion is Seder Breishis. Acherim Omer B'Yosef Breishis. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chosim Mekadosh Yisrael. Okay. Three suggestions amongst the Tanaim, none of which is what we practice. Now, that's the end of the Breishis. The Gemara notes the obvious problem. Isa Ben Yom Charava Loksive Be Havdalah. So the Gemara says, well, there's a couple problems actually. Number one, the number of Havdalahs there were eight. And also number two, the statement of Yeshua ben Levi, you got to find somewhere in the Torah where it says the word Havdalah, and the Torah separates between two items. The Torah does separate between the Yam and the Charava, but not with the word Havdalah. So Sami Mekan bein Yam l'Charava. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to take it out. Take out Yam Charava from the Braisa, meaning, okay, you're right. Rav Yehoshua ben Levi is an accepted principle, and so therefore, whenever we learn this braisa, so we're going to take it out the words Yam L'Charava. So the Gemara says, okay, but that upsets our numbers. Because we had the number eight, we take out one, that's the number seven. But the Gemara notes, but really you have to take out another one as well. Because remember, that what we want to do is we want to thematically link the paragraph to the chasima. So what we do is we add thematically the theme of the chasima into the paragraph, But that doesn't serve as a havdalah, that just simply serves as a link. And so therefore, we're really going to take out not one, but we're going to take out two. We're taking out minayam al-kharab because the Torah doesn't say hamavdil when distinguishing between the dry land and the water. Furthermore, we're also going to take out yom ha-shili sheshi me'amaseh because that too is only in there to create a link between the paragraph and the chasima. So basa chadav like a sheva. So now that's 8 minus 1 minus another 1, that's 6. That's no good. Amre, so they say, meaning the Bnei HaYeshiva are bothered by this question, and so they say, Kohan and Levim, V'Yisrael, Trei Milininu, in the count. So what we're going to do is we're going to have Kohanim, Levim, V'Yisraelim, and that really is not one separation, that's two different separations. And here the Gemara does a little bit of our work for us, meaning for homework we have to go home tonight and we have to find all the psukim in the Torah where the word mavdil is used in context of all the different separations we just said. Here the Gemara gives away two psukim. Bein Levim v'Yisraelim dichsiv by Esai hivdol Hashem Shevet HaLevi. At that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated Shevet HaLevi from the rest of the Jewish people. Good. That's a pasuk in the Torah using the word hamavdil, separating Levi from the rest of the Jewish people. And Bein Kohanim Levim dichsiv b'nei Amram Aharon u'Moshe v'yavdel Aharon lahakdisho kodesh kadashim. Good, and we have a pasuk now. By the way, it's now clear that it's not just Chumash, it's Nach as well. Okay, we're really going to be up late tonight. That's going to... And here it's Divrei Hayamim.
What does that separation have to do with Shabbat?
Nothing. The idea is that Havdalah thematically is about separation. So, we're just going to cite other examples where the Torah creates separation. Right? In other words, it's the mode of separation. And so, now I say nothing, by the way. I'm sure there are links. There are always going to be links. But the basic idea is that we're hammering the point of separation. So anytime you have the word Havdalah used in the Torah, so it's used in different contexts. The Gemara says it's 7. 7 is your number. So it's used in 7 different contexts. So when you say Havdalah, I'm going to say Shabbos. So you got to, either you could say them all. The Gemara says if you're a margil, if you know what you're doing, you'll say them all. Or if you want, you'll say 3. And some even said 1. But okay, but in other words, that's what you're going to do. Moshe, I'm sorry, we did this. Okay, Mechtem Maichasim. Now what's going to be the Chasima? It's a funny question of the Gemara, being that we just saw a Braisa, and the Braisa gave us 3 proposals. So as I mentioned, I keep repeating, although the Gemara does mention a number of proposals, but it's clear that there was fluidity. And even though the Tanaim expressed an opinion, but you're going to see the Amoraim now, right? We're getting to the Amoraim. So they too expressed an opinion, and the Gemara is going to note. And now we're going to finally get to look at something that we're more familiar with. So Mechta Maichasim, Rav Amar Mekadosh Yisrael, Ushmul Amar Hamavdo Mekadosh Shachol. Okay, interesting. Who do we follow like? Shmuel. We follow like Shmuel, not like Rav. In fact, the Gemara over here notes that Rav is not only not accepted, he's rejected. The Gemara says, "La'itala Abaye v'item Rav Yosef ahad Rav." Strong language, right? Cursing anyone who would employ the chasima of Rav. That is a very strong language to just simply say that we don't follow like Rav. Meaning, Gemara could have just simply said, yeah, "We follow like Shmuel," and the Gemara speaks in very strong terms. Rabbi Kornfeld suggests that the anti-Rav camp, meaning Rav Yosef and Abaye, it was because you can see this in Rabbi Kornfeld. Rabbi Kornfeld quotes one of the Achronim in the back of the Gemara, Rabbi Horowitz. Right, I know that's not normally somebody who we quote from the back of the Gemara, but the Rav Elazar Moshe Horowitz, an Achron. I don't have a biography on him, but anyway, he has notes that he writes on the Gemara, and they, like many of the Achronim, he's put into the back of the Gemara. So he suggests that the anti-Rav camp of Abaye and Rav Yosef was basically an anti-heretic camp, probably early Christians. Why? Because if you look carefully at what he says, what was Rav's Mekadesh Yisrael? Meaning, think about what we're doing. Meaning, we're going from Shabbos to Sunday, right? So, Mekadesh Yisrael, right? And now what are we doing? We're sanctifying, right? That's the, So once you get to that kufa, that time period, so already there's a lot of there's this movement to move Shabbos to Sunday. So, and what Rav is saying in his chasima is kedusha. So stay away from that. So in other words, that's why the Gemara is so vehemently opposed to this idea of Rav, of saying Mekadosh Yisrael, but rather that of Shmuel, right, Hamavdim Bein Kodesh L'Chol, clearly articulating that now, we're moving now into a period of Chol. Right? That's a suggestion by Rabbi Horowitz. Tanim Shmei Rav Yeshua Ben Chanan Yekol HaChosim Mekadosh Yisrael V'Hamavdim Mekodesh L'Chol Marichan Lo Yamav Ushno Sav. Rav Yeshua Ben Chanan, you would like to make some sort of hybrid. Where basically in his chasima, he's going to put both. He's going to take Rav, he's going to take Shmuel, he's going to put them together, blend them together, and he promises Arichus Yamim if you do that. Okay. He can make those promises. The Gemara, however, says, Lei Silchus HaKavasei. The halacha does not follow like him. Rashbam points out, if you take a look at the Rashbam on the Amud Beis, the first Rashbam on the Amud Beis, The Rashbam over here is a little spillover from the previous Amud, but the Rashbam Vlei Silchus HaKavasei Karev Yeshua Ben Chananya Lefishein Chosmim Bishtayim Beperek Shlosha She'achlo. Rashbam reminds us of the Gemara in Brachos, 7th Perek, where the Gemara over there says that of the Chasima, whenever we're Chosim, it only could be thematically one theme in the Chasima. So once we start talking about Kedushas Yisrael and Hamavda Ben Kosh Lachol, and we're now adding additional themes into the Chasima that we should not do. A chasima should only have one theme in the actual paragraph itself. So there you can put it, you can throw in as much as you want. In fact, the Gemara just said that you can throw in 7 different havdalos, but once you get to the chasima, so the bracha needs to come to one point, and therefore one chasima. The Gemara notes back in Brachos in the 7th parak, sometimes it's just going to be impossible to just put one chasima, one theme into the chasima. Like for example, let's say you have Shabbos and Yom Tov. Let's say, for example, you have Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. And now what do we do in Musaf? So we bring it to a point. Well, it's hard to, because this is Musaf for Shabbos and for Rosh Chodesh. And so it's kind of hard to bring it to a point. So the Gemara says sometimes it's going to be next to impossible to bring it down to one point. But here, Havdalah, bring it to one point. Hamavda Mikosh Achol. Okay? Adkan, that takes us to the end of our Gemara, and good. So after going through most of today's daf, we basically now are at the point where it looks like what we do. Right? Hamavda Bein Kosh Lachol. So what do we do? Huh? Right, so we mentioned 4 things, but as the Gemara pointed out, we're going to take one out because that's a thematic link between the paragraph and the chasima. Right? In other words, when we start off, Hamavda Bein Kosh Lachol, that doesn't count. Because that's thematically just taking us to the chasima. And then we're down to 3. So of the opinions that are given the Gemara today, 7, 3, or 1. So we go with the middle opinion. Yes.
Why not before Shabbat make the language of Havdil? We also doing the Havdil before.
Yeah, but that's according to the Rambam, that's kedusha, meaning that's what kiddush is. Kiddush is the opposite. Kiddush brings us into kedusha, invests us with the kedusha. Havdil is divestment. Okay. Ula ikla lepumpadisa. Amalei Rav Yehuda l'Rav Yitzchak Berei. So Ula's coming to town. Okay, it's exciting. So Amalei Rav Yehuda l'Rav Yitzchak Berei. Zil amatilei kalkala deperi v'chazi hechi avdil. So do me the following favor. Go find out. Go see what Ula does. Meaning, and after going through all the Gemara that we've just gone through, you see Havdalah was really exciting. You don't know what's going to happen. So it's like it's mystery. It's a mystery how Havdalah is going to be said. Right? Nowadays, you pretty much know how Havdalah is going to be, you know what's going to happen. The excitement of Havdalah has been taken away from us. But okay, so go see what Ula does. So lo azo, shadar le la'abaye. So although his instructions were very clear, he was told to go see firsthand what Ula does. Whatever the reason is, the Gemara will not speak favorably about his move, but his move was he sent somebody else. So he sent Abai to find out what's going to happen. Yeah, he subcontracted his shlichus. So ki asa Abai amar lehechi amar. So now Abai comes, and Abai is now going to report exactly how Ula made his Havdalah. Amar leh baruch atah Hashem l'kenem achlam. I know those words aren't there, but assuming that he opened up with a bracha. Hamavda min kosh l'chol. So amar v'su lo. Okay. He said, I'm out to make kosher challah, and that's it. That's all he said. Asher kamed avua. So now he has to report. Now he didn't see this firsthand. He sent Abaye came back, told the son of Rav Yehuda, and now the son of Rav Yehuda, Rav Yitzchak, goes and reports it back to his father, Rav Yehuda. Amale heche amar, amale ana lo arzle, ana shadarte la Abaye, v'amale amav de mikosha chol. So he gets points for honesty. I didn't go myself. I sent Abaye. Abaye reported to me, now I'm reporting to you. So you're getting this second hand. So you're getting it third hand. I'm getting it second hand. So Amar Lei Rav Revunuse Damar Usaru Se Damar Garmar Le Lamar Delotema Shmaite Mipume. Oh, Rav Yehuda really spoke strongly to his son and strongly against his son. He said, "Your let's go over both of these terms. Your Rav Revunuse, your authority." Meaning the fact that you felt that you were in a position of authority and this is above you and you're not going to go yourself and you're going to send Abaye and Sararuse, right? And your deviance, your unwillingness to go yourself, right? Your insubordination. So both of those caused you to now, every time we're going to speak over this halacha, we're not speaking it over in your name. Meaning you had an opportunity to have this halacha be recorded in your name. You didn't go. You sent Abaye. From this point going forward, now the halacha is going to be said over in Abaye's name, not in your name. The Gemara, a number of places, talks about how important it is that when you say over halacha, you say it over giving proper proper attribution. And the Gemara says, was it Megillah? Oh, I don't remember. But the Gemara says that, right, Kol HaOmer B'Shem Omro, that you say with proper attribution, Mevius HaGeula, further speeds the redemption. So Gemara speaks very strongly about how important it is to give proper attribution. And now, going forward, this halacha, which, by the way, is not the accepted halacha, but this halacha is not going to be said in your name, it's going to be said in Abaye's name, and it's because you refuse to go yourself. So Rav Yehuda spoke very strongly to his son about how inappropriate that was that you send somebody else to go. Meisvei the Gemara challenges. Kol habrachos kolam posech b'barach v'chosem b'em b'barachos mi'barachos mitzvah b'barachos aperus b'barachos mukla chaverta u'barach achronah shebekriyah shma. So the Gemara is bothered by the following. This havdalah that was said over by Ula, very not standard. Meaning there's a standardization of brachas. Brachas have a formula. This is what I mentioned in the beginning of today's daf, and now we're here. We're at the end of the daf, and we're going over the formula. The formula for a bracha is posech b'barach. It opens up with the words Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. Then there's a paragraph, whatever the paragraph is, V'chosem Ben B'Baruch, and it ends with a chasima, a conclusion of Baruch Atah Hashem, whatever that chasima would be. Chutz, and there's exceptions. The exceptions are Birchos Mitzvos. Anytime you make a Birchos a Mitzvah, that's going to be an exception. For example, says the Rashbam, Lisate Patzitzes, Netilas Lulav. And the reason why, explains the Rashbam, Tamo Shadav Lefishem Em Ribui Dvarim. Because a Birchos HaMitzvah is extraordinarily punctuated, it's very short, and so therefore there's nothing to embellish. So therefore it comes out to, just simply, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvotav Tzivanu, and then whatever the next two or three words are going to be. Sometimes it's more than two or three words, but in other words, but it's very punctuated. So it doesn't need to be that standard Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, paragraph, chasima. That's one exception. Another exception would be, I lost my place. Birchos HaMitzvot, Birchos HaPeros. Okay, the bracha we make before we eat a fruit, or for that matter, any food. Bracha HaSmucha LeChaverta. When I have a series of brachas, benching is a classic example. Shmona Esrei is another classic example, where I have a bracha, following a bracha, following a bracha. So therefore, each successive bracha does not need to start with a Baruch Atah Hashem, for reasons which I'll mention in just a moment. U'bracha achrona shebekriya shma, the final bracha of Kriya Shma, meaning the bracha that starts off with the words Emes V'Yatziv, or in the evening, Emes V'Emuna. Right? We noticed it doesn't start off with the words Baruch Atah Hashem. Why? Gemara says exception to the rule. That's all. Okay. Could be that it's also bracha smucha chaverta, which, right. Okay, so we'll come back to that point in just a moment. But anyway, just let me just finish off the point of the Gemara. Sheyesh ben poseach babaruch vein chosim babaruch. Some of them open with a barchat Hashem, but don't have a chasima, don't have a final bracha. Ve'yesh mehem shechosim babaruch vein poseach babaruch. Some of them have a chasima, but don't have a psicha. Ve'hatov v'ameitiv poseach babaruch vein chosim babaruch. And hatov v'ameitiv opens up with baruch and is not chosim with a baruch, and that's the fourth and final bracha of benching. In the meantime, however, let's just finish the point of the Gemara, and then I'll come back and I'll discuss some of these finer points. Kashya le'ula. So that's difficult for Ula, because what did Ula do for his Avdallah? What he did is, Baruch Ata Hashem, L'kenim al-Cholam, Amavda, because of whole period. That's it. And he didn't open it with a baruch, he didn't have a chasima, he just simply said, Amavda, because of whole, and that was it. So the Gemara's answer, very simple. Kashya le'ula, Amalcha Ula, Hanami ki birchas ha-mitzvos damya. Birchas ha-mitzvos, maitame mishum da'odahi, Hanami ho'dahi. So the Gemara says, as far as Ula was concerned, he treated it like a birchas ha-mitzvah. In a birchas ha-mitzvah, because it's so short, because it's so punctuated, so therefore you simply opens with a baruch and it doesn't close with a baruch. So too, his Havdalah, because it was so short, because it was staccato, so therefore it was just simply Baruch HaTashem L'Kedem HaKalam HaMav V'Mikor Shachol. Period. Right. In other words, well, I'll tell you what, if you want to read the Gemara carefully, it says, Ki Birchos HaMitzvah Damya. It's like a Birchos HaMitzvah. If anything, we can even argue that it's not, but it's like it. Anyway, just quickly, just one point. Hard to imagine how much time is left. Just one point, and then I'll and we finish the daf. Okay, fine. But these dafim are short, though. So how much credit can I really take? First of all, you see these long tosfosim on the Amud Beis. So you know what's behind these long tosfosim? Like, in other words, the Gemara gives us such a standard rule. The Gemara says, you know what? Here's a formula for a bracha. Opens with Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam with a paragraph. Then with a chasima, and that's your rule. Now, you think in your mind, right? Again, you want more homework for tonight. Think in your mind about all the brachas that we know about. The brachas in davening, the brachas brachas over food, the brachas of mitzvah. Go over any bracha you could think of. Think of how many times we actually follow the rule. Meaning, as is often the case, we know with every rule there's exceptions. Here, the exceptions seem to outnumber the actual rule itself. So what Tosos does, it makes an attempt to do, and I know it's really long, we're not going to go through it now, is he wants to go over every bracha that he can think of, and basically, why doesn't it follow the rule? Meaning we have a rule. So why don't all these brachas follow the rule? So see Tosos for a lengthy treatment of that discussion. Just one thing I want to discuss, and that is that the Gemara says very clearly that there are exceptions. One of them is bracha smucha chaverta. A bracha smucha chaverta doesn't need to open up with the words Baruch Ata Hashem. We've seen in Shemoneh Esrei, we've seen in benching. Your two classic examples. Right, when we bench, how does the second bracha open up? No delecha Hashem Elokeinu. Al shenchata lavoseinu. And how does the third bracha open up? Rachem na Hashem Elokeinu. Good. So it's a successive bracha. It's a series of brachas. So therefore, brachas 2, 3, until you get to the end, don't open up with the words Baruch Ata Hashem. Shemoneh Esrei, same exact story. Right? Except for the first. So why is it that a bracha smucha l'chaverta does not require a bracha for every successive bracha? So interesting. I spoke about this already on Shabbos. So it's... Huh? Okay. Okay, so Rabbeinu Tam writes, right, exactly what you're suggesting. So Rabbeinu Tam says that the chasima of the previous bracha also serves as a psicha to the next successive bracha. That's exactly how Rabbeinu Tam says it. So basically, it's not an exception to the rule. It follows the rule. You have a psicha, and that is that what you're going to do is you're going to double dip. Every time you get to the end of a bracha, and it has a chasima, it serves as a chasima for the end of the previous bracha, and a psicha for the upcoming bracha. That's the shita of Rabbeinu Tam. The Rashi in Brachos, and the Rashbam over here, not as clearly, but say that no. You know what? You know why? Because it all goes back to the first bracha, meaning that there's a particular theme of these brachas in mind, And so therefore, he doesn't need to open up with Baruchat Hashem because they're all thematically linked. Benching, it's all about benching. Shemona Esrei is all about Tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in other words, once brachas are placed together in a sequence, so therefore it's all thematically linked to the first bracha, and that's why it doesn't have to open up.
For benching on Shabbat, when you insert Yatzeh, isn't that interrupting the second bracha?
Maybe, possibly. And by the way, just one last point, and then I'll end for today. And that could very well be. In other words, look at our Gemara. Our Gemara says, I'll give you exceptions to the rule. Berachas ha-mitzvos, berachas ha-peiros, brachas mucha, chaverta, and then what does the Gemara say? Emes v'yatzif. Meaning the final bracha of Shema. Now, what is that? Well, in other words, it's an exception. Good. Why is it an exception? So according to Rashi, you know why it's an exception? Because it's linked to the first brachas of Shema. Meaning the bracha of Yotzeh Or, the bracha of Ava Rabba, and then you have Emes v'yatzif, meaning that the Chachamim decided that they're going to surround Shema with brachos. Two in the front, one behind, and Maariv two behind, two after. But in other words, we're going to surround Shema with brachos, but thematically, they're all basically linked to one another. They're all brachos Shema, and so therefore, what Rashi would tell you is that this third example of a bracha chornish al kriya Shema, why is it that we don't open up with brachat Hashem? Brachas mucha l'chaverta. Okay. So in other words, it's not really its own separate exception. It's simply because brachas mukhl chaverta. And you can look at the Rashbam right over here, similar idea. If you look at some of the Rishonim, other Rishonim, you'll see that that not everyone agrees. In other words, and why don't they agree? Could be they're following the position of Rabbeinu Tam, like what Ben suggested. That the reason why brachas mukhl chaverta doesn't need to open up is because it's following the chasim of the previous bracha. But with Shema, You're now three paragraphs away from the chasim of the previous bracha, so therefore it doesn't fall under the general rules of brachas mucha chaverta. Okay, could be that would be a possible distinction in terms of how to understand this last exception of bracha chornish al kriyashma. Okay, adkan.